Okay, hey everyone. Welcome to the July edition of 3030. I am coming to you from very hot and muggy and hazy New York City. I hope everyone else has a lot more comfortable weather than we are having here. We have a lot to talk about today because there's a bunch of big things happening in the last 30 days. So let's look at what those are going to be. So we're going to be talking about how RankBrain is now handling 100% of all queries. That's really exciting and really scary from several different perspectives, depending on how you look at it. The Keyword Planner has made what I consider a pretty huge update, where it no longer is showing exact match in all circumstances. It's actually showing close variance as far as search volumes go. We'll talk about that. Something that, you know, regular attendees will know I am very excited about. eBay has adopted AMP pages on a lot of its browse and transactional pages, which I think is really exciting, so we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about keyword rankings and why I still care about them. Been reading a lot of stuff out there that tell people that they shouldn't. I think that's a dangerous thing, so we'll talk about that. And we're also going to be talking about the big topic that a lot of folks have been asking me about over the course of the last few weeks. Was there a June algorithm / quality / whatever update? So we'll get through all of it. So let's dive right in because we only have 30 minutes. So RankBrain is now processing 100% of all queries, which is very exciting and still also kind of scary at the same time, because now we know that it is taking into account everything that is going through and affecting, you know, Google. So what happened was around June 27th, let's say, the news was released that RankBrain was now involved in every query and that the impact was hugely effective and highly impactful. So that is something where, you know, we're seeing a lot of things that are moving around, shifting. A lot of people may think that that is what the, you know, a lot of, there's some folks out there who think that's what the update was over June, where we were seeing some kind of ups and downs, major ups and downs in rankings. That could be a part of it, but that is what's happening right now. RankBrain, which is the number three ranking factor, according to Google, has taken over 100% of all queries and is processing them. So what does that mean for us, right? I mean, you know, outside of, you know, Google, you know, finally becoming fully self-aware and, you know, causing the robot uprising, you know, this is really, you know, this furthers the view that I've been talking about and that Conductor as a whole has been talking about over the last, you know, year and a half, that, you know, it's you know, semantic search is becoming, is really what is taking over, well, taking over, what is in charge now. And it's all about creating content that is user-centric, right? It's not about, hey, you know, we have to optimize for this particular algorithm, for this particular algorithm update. It's all about creating content that, you know, that connects with your user. And Google should be viewed as a user. And that's really what this is all about, right? Google is no longer really a machine coming through your site. Google, it should be treated as a person coming through your site, because it is becoming more and more human. I'm sure you guys have heard me say this many, many times, and a lot of my clients who I see on the call right now that I talk to on a regular basis, I know we talk about these things all the time, that, you know, Google should be treated as a user, and because that's what it is, right? And the big question, of course, I think I may have just answered, though, you know, it is cool, and, you know, how do I optimize it? You don't optimize to it, right? This isn't something that, well, you know, it's a Panda update, so we know it's thin content. We know it's, you know, a lot of ads on the site, you know, things of that, and slow page speed times, things of that. Oh, you know, it's not a Penguin update where, you know, the fabled Penguin 4 update, which is probably, you know, never going to happen at this point, you know, that it doesn't have specific, factors to it. This is an overall Google, you know, Google's machine learning AI that has taken over the algorithm and is now controlling it, right? So Google has admitted, and anyone who has, who has joined before knows that I've said this, you know, and that Google has said that they don't know what RankBrain is doing. They don't know how it's controlling it. They don't even know what it's doing. So at the end of the day, this is one of those things that we're not trying to optimize for RankBrain. Yes, it is the number three ranking factor behind links and content, which we know is not one and two. But what we're saying here is that what we're seeing is that, you know, Google is, you know, has come up with a smart way to update its algorithm automatically. So RankBrain is constantly moving. It's constantly changing. It's working right now. Every time you and I enter a new query into Google, it is taking that into account and it's factoring that into what it's showing people. It's constantly learning. It's moving. It's running. It's crawling. It's doing everything all at once. So, you know, when if some folks, you know, get worried, like, oh my God, like, you know, we're seeing a lot of ranking shifts, we're seeing a lot of this, you know, is this RankBrain? Should we optimize for it? That's not what it's about. You should always be focusing on creating user-centric content. Certainly that is optimized for, you know, keywords that fall underneath the same umbrella, like-minded keywords that create a theme in your overall page. And then that sends Google a very clear message as to what that page is about. Right, and I always hang, you know, that's kind of the cornerstone in a lot of my content strategies, is that, you know, we want to make sure that we're sending this clear message, and this is the reason why. You know, this is something that if, you know, for folks who have been with me since the beginning of the series, you know, this is something that I've been pushing for a really long time, something that I don't like using the word predicted, but, you know, have, you know, anticipated, really, you know, that Google is going to be going towards this, you know, this you know, this smart AI model, which it is. It's going to start learning from us, which it now is. So this is it's really important to understand that we need to create content that is user-centric and not algorithmic-centric, because Google shouldn't be treated as an algorithm. Google should be treated as a user, because that's how it's experiencing our sites. And that's what this means. And folks who have, you know, good content that connects with their users and that is well-written probably didn't see much of anything happen when this took place, or they saw increases. You know, and a lot of folks are saying, oh, this is, you know, just a big Panda update. Panda's not really a thing. You know, it's a filter that's built into the core algorithm, right? So that's not really a separate thing anymore. So this is a good thing for search. This is a good thing for marketers. This should, you know, put more pressure on merchandising teams and, you know, copywriting teams to write engaging content, to write content that people are going to connect with, but also from a user experience standpoint, that we have good calls to action, we have good, you know, good places for people to interact with our sites, and of course that that content is optimized. So that's something that we should be thinking about going forward. It's not all about how many keywords am I using on this particular page and yada, yada, yada. It's not about that anymore. This is all about creating good content, which I'm sure everyone says around the industry. I'm sure I'm not the only one saying this, of course, but this makes it that much more important. So that's what's going on there. So next, talking about Keyword Planner, this is something that a lot of folks have been kind of up in arms about. So if you see the example here, you know, we all know that exact match key, you know, phrase is that when you Google something, you know, you put in a specific, you know, query, Google only showed the search volume for that exact match. It wasn't phrase match, it's not broad match, but they showed the keyword volume associated with that exact keyword being put into Google's, you know, being put into Google search bar, and, you know, based on, you know, the paid search auction, how much volume that gets in a given, you know, in a given month. And what's happening here is that with RankBrain going into effect 100%, this has caused, you know, close variant keywords to have the same keyword volume. So you're probably seeing increased search volume for a lot of queries. And you can see here in this example, a good example is, you know, is the cat and cat. You can see it's 3.35 million for each, right? And whereas a few weeks ago, they probably had two different search volumes because RankBrain had not fully taken everything over. This is cool. This is not a bad thing. You know, a lot of folks have been calling me like, Pat, this is really weird, you know, and again, a direct result of RankBrain. And, you know, everyone's like, that's an odd change. Why would they do that? Why wouldn't we have more specific data? Why wouldn't we want that? Why wouldn't Google want us to have that? And in my opinion, and this is my opinion, you know, a lot of people put too much emphasis on the actual search volumes. And anyone who's ever been on the phone with me when we're discussing things like this, we're talking about keyword, you know, relevance versus keyword volume. This is, you know, something that I really feel strongly about, that keyword volume should be directional, right? They shouldn't be taken wholesale. They shouldn't be taken literally you're sitting there like, this is everything that we need to focus on is this one number. They should be looked at as, are those keywords worth going after? Does my site have the ability to rank for something like that. Good example, if you are Zappos.com, for example, yes, you can rank for shoes. You can rank for that very broad keyword. You'll probably get a lot of garbage traffic out of it. You probably won't get many sales. But technically, yes, you could go after that. And if you are, let's say, Joe'sShoes.com, you're probably not going to rank for shoes. So you can use these volumes as a directional, and you should probably stay underneath 50,000 search volume a month, because those are the ones that you can realistically have a chance at ranking for in the near future. So again, keyword volumes should not be taken as gospel. They should not be used in, you know, hey, you know, this has this exact, this is exactly how much traffic I'm going to get if I rank number one for this. That is garbage. That is not how this works. This and not how you guys should be thinking about this. Again, in my opinion, you should be thinking about this in a way where keyword volumes direct you towards, you know, goals, direct you towards content that you should build, and keywords that you can realistically rank for. And I think that this is actually very helpful, that the close variance thing, because that gives you the whole picture. Back in the day, before you know, the keyword planner was even called the keyword planner, it was just a keyword tool, and it gave you the ability to switch between exact, phrase, and broad match. I always kept it on phrase match because I want to know what the universe for that keyword is, so that I don't have to go out and put 300 keywords into the keyword planner, or go in, you know, and of course go into Audience Intent Explorer within Searchlight and put in all these. We can see what the keyword volumes are based, you know, off of the group, not necessarily just that one specific. It's not 100% for every single keyword right now, but it's probably, it's the, for the majority of it, or it's for the majority of it, and it's only going to grow, right? So this is going to be something as RankBrain, you know, continues to chug along and become stronger and become smarter. This is going to continue to affect this. So again, you know, from a keyword perspective and keyword volume perspective, always think of keyword volumes as directional. Can I rank for that keyword? Can I rank for something that has 50,000 volume, or should I go after something that has 10,000 volume or 500 volume, depending on what type of content you're creating? And you have to see the size of your business and, you know, your domain authority and a million other factors that go into it. But again, you shouldn't be obsessed with keyword volumes, but you should be aware of them. And I think this is just an easier way to get, you know, keyword, you know, a sense of the keyword volume around a particular set of keywords. So that is end rant there on keyword volumes. So something I am super, super jazzed about, and I'm sure everyone who has joined 3030 over the course of the last 10 months or so knows, I am a big believer in accelerated mobile pages. I'm a big believer in the AMP project, because I think it's going to be the future of mobile search. And eBay has taken a really big step here. You know, it's pretty cool, and you know, they have they know that they're kind of seeing into the future, in my opinion, right? They're a very forward-thinking company. You know, because here we see that they took 8 million of their browse pages, which are, you know, semi-transactional pages. You know, if for anyone who's ever used eBay, I'm sure everyone on the phone has in some way, shape, or form, or at least been on it. You know, their browse pages is where you're just looking, you're looking for auctions, you're looking for products, and that's something that AMP was not originally intended to do. You know, they were originally reserved for publishing sites. You know, so sites like, you know, New York Times and, you know, newsworthy sites such as that, and, you know, really for blog and news type content. This is the first step into someone, and if you actually go back to a few 30-30s ago, I said some big company at some point is going to adopt this in a big way as a huge test to see if it can work for non-news type or non-blog type content. And eBay is the first one who has really done this, in my opinion, you know, taking 8 million of their browse pages and changing them to AMP pages to see what the effects of those will be. And I think this is pretty cool. And, you know, and what I believe will happen is that they are going to see a somewhat of a significant lift in mobile traffic due to this, because they're going to show up in the carousel, you know, or at least they're going to show up in the AMP carousel, and that's going to give them more visibility, and it'll get more folks on their phones onto the site. And this is cool. You know, just in my opinion, this is cool. This is someone taking a risk. This is a forward-thinking company. Whoever put this into place at eBay, it's a great thing, in my opinion, and I think we're going to see a lot more people start to take this direction, right? I think a lot more people are gonna start looking at AMP page and saying, hey, you know, I have pages like this. I have search pages like this. Maybe I should make those AMP. And really, this is for e-commerce sites, right? You know, because publishing sites can do it already, but AMP pages weren't really made for e-commerce sites, and I think this is the first e-commerce site that is taking a leap like this and testing the waters of how AMP is going to either help them or not help them. And my guess is that it's going to help them tremendously. But you know, I could, you know, could be wrong, but I hold out hope because, you know, as Google said a few months ago at a conference, can't remember exactly which one, they want all content to be AMP enabled. So they're going to continue to build. They're going to continue to innovate. They're going to continue to update this technology until we're eventually going to be buying stuff off of AMP pages. My guess, we can serve ads off AMP pages. Why can't we make a purchase? And that, my guess is that's what this is going to lead to. And I'm just curious and somewhat excited to see what large retailer does this as well. What large retailer is going to look at this and say, hey, you know, eBay's doing it. Why can't I do it? And I say good for eBay because I think this is a very forward-thinking idea. And whoever was in charge of this over there definitely, you know, can see where the industry is going. So something for everyone to keep in mind, no matter what type of site you have. I think AMP pages are going to continue to evolve and continue to become more and more and more important in the mobile space and possibly the entire future of mobile search. This may become a requirement. You know, in a year from now, I may be telling people you need AMP pages. So keep your eye on that and go to ampproject.org if you want to learn more about what it all is. Okay, keyword rankings. So the last 2 years or so, and this is more of something that I've had a lot of. No, I don't want to say arguments. So I've had a lot of talks about over the last 2 years because I've seen so many people put out articles saying that keyword rankings don't matter anymore. And it makes me sad. I'm not going to lie to you. It makes me sad. And, you know, honestly, it's not because I believe that they are a make or break metric. They are not. They should be viewed as directional. Again, we'll get into that. I am not a jaded SEO. I've been around for a long time, you know, but I've heard people say SEO is dead and content is king and all the slogans that you hear about SEO. And I am not stuck in the past. And it's really because, you know, they are directional metric. It is something that can show success. It is also something that can show that there might be a problem with your site, right? How are you going to know that there is something wrong? You know, that is another way, not just from traffic standpoint, but, you know, keywords help us pinpoint what landing pages, we think are going down in the rankings, because it's not too hard, especially if you have a platform like Searchlight, to tie back what landing page is ranking for what keywords. So if you didn't have those rankings as a metric, how would you have known that something was going down if it was just your traffic? You'd be kind of shooting in the dark there. You'd be walking around a dark room with no way out. And I believe that this is a very short-sighted and dangerous message. And there was an article very recently, I think it was last week, about this on Search Engine Land, which, of course, I'm on, all the time, looking for these updates and things like that. And I think it's one of these things where everyone should really think about this and say, because you're going to hear this a lot, that keyword rankings are not important. Keyword rankings are something that you should ignore. They're an old metric. That's an old way of thinking. And I think that that's a very dangerous message. And I think that it's something that folks need to still have. It's a great success metric. But again, I think more importantly, it helps us pinpoint when something goes wrong where the problems are. And I think if you took those away, let's say everyone just started to ignore keyword rankings, right? Let's say we took it out of Searchlight. You know, we're not going to do that, but let's say we did. What would, you guys would have traffic metrics. You'd have all these great, competitive metrics. But one that is probably the easiest to understand and the most directional is keyword ranking. So why wouldn't you want to know that? And, a lot of it revolves around, the keyword rankings are, Google, they're changing all the time. When you see a snapshot in time, they're different. That's true, but they're always around the same area, right? You know, if you're seeing, like, everyone realizes that there's ebbs and flows to Google's algorithm. If you have a bunch of keyword rankings that are up one or two or three or down one or two or three, you should know not to worry about that. It's when they're nosediving 30, 40, 50 spaces, five, six pages, that you know something's wrong. Why wouldn't you want that data? And why is it bad to look at that data? And I am vehemently opposed to this viewpoint, and it's just something that I wanted to get out to you guys, because I think that you hear a lot of folks say this, you hear a lot of folks talk about this, and I think it's a really dangerous message to be putting out there. SEO, of course, is a game of opinions, right? You know, everyone has an opinion, and that's totally cool. This is mine, but I really think that that's something that all folks should kind of avoid that line of thinking, because I think that keyword rankings, while they are not a make or break metric, you shouldn't always always look, hey, we have great rankings, but we didn't get any traffic. You should always look at traffic, conversions, you know, bounce rate. You should look at a million different things. But why wouldn't you want this data? Why would, you know, and they're saying, just ignore them. You know, just ignore them. They have nothing to do with anything. And that is total garbage. You should totally know where you rank. You should know where you stand against your competitors. And it's definitely something that I stand behind and will continue to stand behind unless a very good you know, reason or a lot of data comes my way that says that I should change my mind. So, another big question, was there a June quality update? So, what you're looking at here is what Conductor is seeing. We're seeing a lot of clients across a lot of different industries seeing a decline from, you know, really between June 18th and July 9th. So, what's going on? The July date, the 4th of July holiday was long this year, right? It was on a Monday. A lot of folks took Thursday and Friday off. We're seeing that. That's just classic, you know, long weekend. You see a little bit of dip there. But it's before that where I'm most interested in, and it's right around when RankBrain, you know, was confirmed to take over, you know, around that June 27th part, you know, give or take a few days one way or the other, is when we start to see a lot, you know, some declines. And, you know, a lot of people are speculating. And, you know, what we're seeing is, you know, what if there was some kind of June quality or phantom update, it probably happened at the same time as RankBrain, you know, took over completely. So there could have been two different things happening here. And if you want to see a really good in-depth, you know, look at the data, Glenn Gabe at G Squared Interactive did a really good deep dive into all the factors that it was. And he's kind of pointing it to it being Panda related, you know, which could mean there was a quality update that could have happened. You know, no one, you know, if you go to like, you know, Moz's official, you know, update schedule, they haven't updated anything yet. You go all over to all these folks who track this stuff. No one's actually said, yes, there was a June quality update. My guess is that it was a combination of RankBrain and whatever happened. There was definitely some kind of Panda, you know, content quality thing that happened at the same time, and I think they just happened at the same time. And but you know, Google said that RankBrain had a significant impact, a large impact. So I think that that definitely has something to do with it, and it's something that we all should think about. You know, back to my previous statements, that this is why we need to continue to create good quality content and kind of stay away from, you know, shady, you know, practices and thin content, things like we have to make sure that we take care of our sites, because when stuff like this happens, and we're seeing it across a lot, you know, it's a lot of different industries, it's not one particular type of person or a particular type of company, but something happened. And, you know, if you're seeing declines, please feel free to reach out, especially if you're a customer, and, you know, we'll look into it. You know, we're happy to look into it on the professional services side of things. So, you know, with that said, again, thank you guys for joining. We're going to jump into the questions right now, and then we'll take that through the last 10 minutes or so. So, just going to start doing our thing here. So, let's see what we have. Okay, so... So regarding RankBrain, does this mean that the URLs, meta descriptions, the keywords, etc., that we used to optimize for in the past are not available anymore? Should we not do any of that anymore? Absolutely not. That's not what this means. What this means is that you should probably pay even more attention to that, you know, going forward. But what you should focus on is, you know, when you optimize these pages, were they over-optimized? Do the pages feel over-optimized? If you saw a decline, you should think more along those lines and going back and saying, hey, is the theme on this page strong enough? You know, could I make it better? And if that's the case, that's what I would focus on. We should all continue to optimize our pages. We should all continue to pick keywords, assign keywords. You need a keyword strategy that is SEO 101. Any SEO will agree with me there. So at the end of the day, RankBrain is not about not optimizing pages. It's about creating better quality pages. So if you saw a decline, go back and see which landing pages saw the biggest dip in rankings, and then compare that with the pages that saw the biggest dips in traffic, and see what the state of those pages are. And that's where you can start your investigation. Thank you for the question, though. So, do you have any resources that talk about semantic search? My concern is that if we think about optimizing as a person, that may allow marketing to create ad copy versus content. that's really a phenomenal statement, actually. Semantic search, you can go out there and find a million different things, right? There are some good, just make sure it's from a good source. You know, make sure it's from, like, you know, Search Engine Roundtable, Search Engine Land, Search Engine Journal, Forbes, TechCrunch, something like that. Just make sure it's from a real source before you take it as gospel. There aren't any specific things that I would send over. It's just what is happening right now. It's what's been taking over the course of the last, couple of years. And this is just it becoming more and more and more. But thinking about optimizing as a person, marketing to create ad copy versus content, that is where the folks on, that's where you guys need to step in and say, no, we don't want ad copy. We're not trying to sell Google something. We're trying to treat Google to a piece of content that it could potentially get something out of, just like one of our users. Right, so it's not necessarily about, hey, we're just thinking about selling stuff to people, which is, hey, we're all marketers. That's what we're trying to do, right? We're not doing this stuff for free. But at the end of the day, this doesn't mean like, hey, yeah, just write ad copy and paste that up, and that's all you need now because RankBrain understands every single keyword for every single different iteration of it. That's not what we mean. We still need to optimize these pages and create very strong themes, and that's something that you should continue to do going forward. Okay, let's keep looking. How's the loss of exact match data directly related to RankBrain? Great question. So what's happening here is that RankBrain is, if anyone has ever heard me talk about latent semantic indexing before, or LSI, which a lot of folks call it, that's the retrieval method that Google uses for semantic search, where it understands synonyms and different iterations of one particular keyword, right? So the ing version, the li version, the plural version of a particular keyword. So with that said, what that means here is that RankBrain is that times 10, right? It's basically taking that theory and that retrieval method and adding, machine learning to it, but amplifying it 100 times. So what's happening is, the loss of exact match is directly related to that because, RankBrain is informing Google that all of these keywords basically are close variants of one another. And since RankBrain understands that and it gives that particular page, the ability to rank for one, five queries based off of one main query, they're showing the same search volumes for all of those, the combined search volume for that entire keyword set rather than the specific keyword volumes for each keyword. Because if you have a page about cats, you can rank for, the word cat, the word cats, the word cat toys, the word cat, cat toying, cat, you can rank for all these different iterations of one keyword. So they're showing the combined value of all of those keywords. So great question, and thank you for asking it. Moving along. If everyone adopts AMP enablement, won't it soon become equally difficult to stand out in search? Great point. The answer is yes, of course. That's what happens, right? Google comes out with something new, and it becomes, it usually becomes very difficult for everyone to kind of exist there. But, that's what happens. That's our industry. Writing title tags and putting keywords in once was a very new thing, and then everyone was doing that. Then people start to spam it, and then Google has to combat against it. That's kind of just the way that our industry works, unfortunately. But it's good, it's a good point because that probably will happen. That's kind of how everything happens, right? Going up. And again, for any questions I don't get to, I will be over. I will write you back afterwards. So this is a good one. Besides Audience Intent Explorer, what other tools do you recommend for latent semantic indexing research to better adapt to the RankBrain takeover? That's a really great question. There's a lot of great stuff out there. You really should, you could always use, SEMrush is out there. SEMrush gives you a lot. Anything that gives you a lot of, a lot of different iterations of a particular keyword. So there's SEMrush that's really great. There's SimilarWeb that's really great. Moz's new keyword tool is something that you can use as well. The keyword planner itself, really anything that you can go and look for, groups of keywords together and see what the combined, combined value of those keywords is. That's really what, those are really the tools that you can look for. Look for the big names in the industry, the stuff that everyone's using. Those are usually the best because they have the largest, the largest indexes. For AMP pages, do you have an opinion on whether to use a WordPress plugin, for example, or create them using HTML? Great question. So my guess is that you should go to ampproject.org and you should focus on doing it within the HTML for now. While AMP becomes more popular, those plugins will get better. But if there is a good plugin out there, I'm not aware of one. I'm not sure if one exists, but if one does, just make sure the guy the folks who built it know what they're doing. But for right now, as it's still kind of in its infancy, I would focus on kind of building the pages manually, because it would make me nervous to just wholesale rely on a plugin from WordPress, because it's still such a new technology. So I would probably still do that. Last one. So I always thought Keyword Planner was just a tool used and available by paid advertisers. Is that correct? That is not true. So Keyword Planner, that is used by SEOs and paid search folks alike. The volume is based on paid search. How often it shows up in paid search. That's where the volumes come from. Most organic folks still do use the Keyword Planner, on a regular basis. It's not just for paid search. They have geared it more towards paid search in recent years. For obvious reasons, they make their money off paid search. But it's for everyone, and it's something that I still use, even outside of Searchlight, which is 10 times more powerful. But, it's still something that I use, old dog, hard to get rid of old habits, but it's still very valuable, and it can be used by paid and, social and organic folks alike. So with that, guys, thank you so much. We're right at the 30-minute mark. Can't thank you enough for joining once again. We will see you next month. All the questions that I did not answer, I will email you after this, and we will see you next month. Thanks a lot, guys. Talk soon.